Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
Thanks for joining us on the show. This week we welcome our movie critic, Gray Drake. She talks about the last of the summer movies and what we can expect at the theaters before the warm weather goes away. There are lots of great films to check out, including The Expendables, Bourne Legacy, as well as Hope Springs. We then chat with app developer and author Chad Moretta. He talks about how to make money through technology and still find time to have a fulfilling personal life without always having to be at the office.
Your need for sound.
It's been a summer jam-packed with movies, lots of blockbusters, some comedies, and even some thrillers. Now, even though we're marching towards fall, there are still some summer movies to check out. To help give us an idea what is still to come before summer 2012 slips away is CNN, Fandango, and Kelly Alexander Show movie critic Gray Drake. Gray, welcome to the team, and thank you so much for joining us on the show this week.
Oh, Kelly, it's good to be back, man. I can't believe that we're already in August.
I know, it's ridiculous, and I think a lot of people give up in August when it comes to movies. I think they think that stuff is over and it's back to school and maybe it's, you know, waiting for the fall. But I know there's still some great movies coming out in August before, you know, the kids have to head back. So I want to get into all that. But I know I have to ask you about this just because it's been such a crazy couple of weeks with the incident that happened in Colorado. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on it. We all know that it was a horrible situation and something we hope never happens again. But the question I have for you is more on, a technical level with regards to movies going forward. A, do you know if, you know, Dark Knight was really affected by this? I know that they said there had been a drop in people going, but I don't know if that's just, you know, because it had been out for a couple weeks or residual, you know, effects of this shooting. And also, do you think in general movie companies are going to be thinking twice about maybe how they're presenting stories and ammunitions like this?
Well, it's hard to say whether or not the movie was affected by this, especially because so many people had pre-purchased their tickets months ahead of time. So it's hard to say if the box office was affected. And as far as the second question goes, in a situation like this, it's really important that everyone look at what they can be doing, you know, just to be more responsible and just to take care of each other better. I think that Hollywood has to ask themselves that question, as well as parents and teachers and all of these people, you know, because it's all, in the end, it's about us taking care of each other. And everybody is a piece of the puzzle. So the answer is yes. You know, Hollywood needs to look at this stuff, and I really hope that they will. And we all need to, you know, turn the mirror and then move outward, basically, is what I'm thinking.
Okay, and I also wanted to touch on something, and you can, I'm sure, speak to this, because maybe you've interviewed him before, I'm not sure, but I think some of us may have had a bit of a negative thought process on Christian Bale. I think some of us know or have heard that he is or can be difficult on movie sets and maybe not...
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, and maybe not as nice to his coworkers as we would like. But in light of what, you know, happened in Colorado, I was very excited and very pleased to see that he actually showed up at, you know, a hospital in Aurora, Colorado, to see the victims. Like, has this just been amazing or what?
I love that part of this because it really speaks to what I just said. We all have to figure out what we can do to help and what we can do to prevent things like this, if that's possible. And I love the fact that he stepped up and did the right thing. And, you know, reminded us that the movie is the movie and that's all make-believe, but this is about real people. And he was being a real human being in that moment, and I'm really proud of him. Because I kind of share your viewpoint. I didn't love him before all this. You know, with the bad publicity he got, yelling at that crew member, that was terrible. And it made him seem like a really bad, bad soul, you know, and this really helped me a lot as well. So I'm kind of back on the Christian Bale bandwagon because I just really like to see that kind of humanity coming from someone. It's really, that's nice. And I'm glad that Hollywood stepped up. I'm glad he stepped up, especially.
Joining us on the show this week is Gray Drake, our movie critic right here at KellyAlexanderShow.com. And you can also find her on movies.com. So now if we move into these August movies that are, you know, on the way or just about here. You know, I know there's a bunch coming out. I guess the first one I wanted to touch upon, just because I think there's been a lot of people potentially waiting for this if they are fans of Whitney Houston, is Sparkle, which is her last movie.
Oh, Sparkle. Oh, I can't wait to see this movie. I'm so excited because I love watching Whitney Houston in movies, and that made her death that much more sad. Because we wouldn't get to hear her voice or see her anymore. And I've always really enjoyed her in movies. Even if the movie isn't as great as another one, I still loved her. She really had like a special shine and well, a special sparkle about her, as cheesy as that just sounded.
That's all good.
But man, I'm jazzed because this is a remake of an older movie. And, you know, it has a great cast. And I think it's going to be really nice to see Whitney, you know, in her final performance. I'm really looking forward to it because I also love musicals. So I'm down.
And who else is in the movie? Jordan Sparks, correct? And a bunch of other people?
Exactly. There are a ton of people in this movie. And it really, I can't wait. With all the music, it's going to be wonderful.
And what date is this coming out?
This comes out on August 17th, which is the same weekend as a movie on the complete opposite end of the spectrum in the spirit of counter-programming, The Expendables 2.
So tell us about this. Like, how jazzed are you for this one?
Oh, Expendables 2. I loved the first one. Loved it. Because Sylvester Stallone got together the most iconic action stars of all time in one film, okay? And he realized. Now, he's a really astute, like, he's a smart filmmaker, Sylvester Stallone, because he knows that you don't have to do any work to make the audience love these guys because they already love them.
Right.
So, and that's just more of this in Expendables 2. Because in the first movie, Jason Statham stabs a dude in the ear. And I think that there's more magic in this movie because in Expendables 2, he finally brought on Jean-Claude Van Damme, Chuck Norris, Liam Hemsworth is even in it. And I just think this one is going to be totally great.
Now, speaking of Stallone, just a quick note, obviously very sad the last couple of weeks and the fact that he lost his son. Do you think this is going to affect him at all with regards to the premiere and all that sort of stuff?
Absolutely. What a horrible tragedy. You know, it's so, so awful. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's missing from these events because, you know, he had a great ensemble of characters in the film that I think will do the figurative heavy lifting for him.
Like the press junkets.
No, you know, they're going to make up for him being absent and taking time to deal with his family and, you know, and just hiding out a little bit. Because who wants to be on a red carpet with all the photographers and the obnoxious questions? Ugh, yuck.
Yeah.
I'd say stay home, Sly. We'll take care of it for you.
Excellent. And because you know there will be some stupid loser that will throw out some sort of insensitive remark if he was to walk a red carpet.
Oh, you know, it's a tough line as a journalist, as you know, because it's... You have a responsibility to report on the news, but at some point it crosses over into being very exploitative and very inappropriate. And it's really hard to know when you're in that moment, when the thing comes out of your mouth, if you've just said something terrible in the interest of getting news or getting a scoop. And it's getting worse and worse. And I include myself in that to some extent because I do these interviews and you got to really be aware of yourself all the time. And so, yeah, there's going to be some idiot out there that says something really inappropriate. And I say stay away. Don't even put yourself in that situation because you got Terry Crews, Randy Couture, like a whole bunch of people in this film that everybody wants to talk to. So they'll be fine.
Excellent. Now, moving on, something that I think a bunch of people are super excited for, Bourne Legacy, Jeremy Renner.
That's right. Matt Damon, see you later. It's all about Jeremy Renner. The billboard campaign for this movie really makes me laugh because all it is are like black billboards that says, there was never just one.
Wow. Dun, dun, dun.
So dramatic, right? It didn't even announce what movie it's for. I don't even know how I figured that out, that it was actually belonging to the Bourne Legacy. But I have a lot of time on my hands, I guess, is what it is. But apparently, the deal is that Jeremy Renner is another highly trained death machine, just like Matt Damon was. And so this picks up with his story. And I think that Bourne Legacy is going to be a lot of fun because, you know what? It almost has to be. The other three movies, were really good. So I don't know, man. I have high hopes for this.
Now, did you hear, because I read this the other day and I wanted your thoughts on this. I read an interview with Jeremy Renner talking about the, you know, regime he had to sort of deal with to get in shape for this movie, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the interview, he talked about how he really hopes that he can share the screen at some point with Matt Damon in some kind of like super Bourne legacy, because the way the movie is written, he says it could go in many different directions. Do you think we'll ever see a Jeremy Renner, Matt Damon Bourne legacy or Bourne something?
In saying that, you have officially given me something to add to my prayer at the end of the night. That would be so exciting, because I loved watching Jeremy Renner in Mission Impossible 4. Was it 4? I can't even keep track of how many Mission Impossibles there are. But he was great in it because he's great in action. He's also really funny, and he does serious stuff really well. He's a good actor. So I think that just like Matt Damon, he is really going to surprise everybody, being like a really charismatic, totally kick-ass dude. The only wild card in Bourne Legacy is that it's directed by Tony Gilroy, who he's written a lot of good movies, okay? He's written, you know, State of Play, and he wrote the Bourne Ultimatum, and all the other Bourne movies, actually. But as a director, he's only directed Michael Clayton and Duplicity. Now, Michael Clayton was starring George Clooney, and that was a really intense, fun, intriguing film. Duplicity, starring Julia Roberts and Clive Owen, was not good. And it should have been. And so that's the only thing where jury is still out, you know, so I'm an optimist. So I'm going to say I'm still excited.
Now, if we stay in this vein, I wanted your opinion on this, Total Recall.
Oh, Total Recall. The movie that could have been awesome.
Oh, that bad, eh? Oh, wow. Snap.
You know, it's not that it's bad. Colin Farrell, I love him. I think he's a really good actor, and every time he's in something, he's fun to watch. Kate Beckinsale, I love watching her do roundhouse kicks in tight pants, okay? So everybody's performance was good, but what was not good was the script that I literally forgot the minute that I walked out of the theater.
Wow.
And Total Recall, if you remember, is a really iconic film. It's filled with stuff that I have never forgotten my entire life. You've got little people with guns. You've got Arnold Schwarzenegger's eyes bulging out of his helmet. You've got Mars and him shoving a gun up his nose to retrieve a microchip in his brain. I mean, tons of cool stuff from the original film, and none of it shows up in the remake. So it's, you know, there's some flying cars and good fight scenes, but other than that, I don't even know what to tell you it was about.
Wow, that's really sad, because I know a lot of some lady friends of mine were super excited to go see this and see the man, the Colin Farrell. So they're going to be disappointed. They're going to be maybe a little bit disappointed in that.
Maybe a little disappointed in the story, but they'll get plenty of Colin in the movie. And if you're looking to, you know, get out of the heat, this is a relatively good way to spend the afternoon.
Okay. And when does that come out? It's soon, isn't it?
It's out.
It is out. Oh, see, that's how bad it is. I thought it was out next week, so there you go.
See, exactly. Well, there, you know, the publicity for this has been a little quiet, I don't know how well it's going to do up against The Dark Knight Rises. I don't think it's going to take the number one spot.
Wow, because I actually, come to think of it, I think I've only seen, like, a TV preview maybe once. So, that's bad. That is bad. Joining us on the show this week is KellyAlexanderShow.com movie critic and also movie critic for movies.com, Gray Drake. Gray, something I wanted to talk to you about. I know we're switching gears here, but I have to say, I'm sort of looking forward to this, and people can call me a fuddy-duddy if they want, but I love these two actors. I love Tommy Lee Jones and I love Miss Meryl Streep. And so they are in Hope Springs. Can you tell us about it and if this is something people should check out?
Hope Springs. I'm actually excited for this movie, too, because I really like the two of them. Basically, anything that Meryl Streep is in, sign me up, is what I say. Now, Hope Springs is what I'm hoping it is, and Hope Springs Eternal for this hope. How many times can I say hope in this segment? But I'm hoping that it is about... It's kind of like an as good as it gets vibe.
Yeah.
You know, where like Tommy Lee Jones plays the curmudgeon who is, you know, kind of reawakens his love for this woman, and then they end up having some hijinks, and they make some old people jokes, and it's funny. I hope that's what it is, but I know that it involves a lot of stuff about relationships and, like, kind of marriage counseling stuff, and that might sound like torture to some of your listeners, but to me, it sounds like heaven.
And Steve Carell is their psychologist or whatever in that movie, correct?
Exactly. So how can you lose? Because Steve Carell, even when he's in a movie that's less than great, is still fantastic because he's Steve Carell.
Excellent. So I think it's something that we should check out then, correct? You would concur?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're into that kind of stuff and you don't mind watching people on a big screen talk about their feelings, then you're going to love this movie, obviously, because Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones have been married for 30 years and, you know, they need to figure out why they've lost their gumption to love each other or something like that.
And I think it would just be funny to see Tommy Lee Jones talking about his feelings, because I think in any movie you watch him in, he doesn't really respond well to talking about his feelings. So I think it should be...
Trust me. I've interviewed Tommy Lee Jones before, and he definitely does not like to talk about his feelings. That's straight from the horse's mouth.
I actually wanted to know this. I've heard that he can be a difficult interview. Is this true?
Oh, you are being so nice when you put it that way. Yes.
Okay. That is sad to me, I guess, because I love him that much. But I guess my concern with that, and maybe it's because I've interviewed, you know, so many music stars, and I've been fortunate that most of them have just been, I can't even say most of them. I don't even think I've one time had a problem with any of the music celebrities I've interviewed. They've always been very sweet and accommodating. And I guess it's hard for me to understand how, if this is your job and part of your job is to do press junkets and talk about your movie, like why you would be difficult.
I know. It's a big question mark, isn't it? But I would say that he's famous for it.
Okay.
And the thing that I just choose to focus on is that when I did get to talk to him, it was for Men in Black 3. And I actually had the good fortune of making him laugh in our interview, which is to me like the holy grail of interviews.
Exactly.
So that was a good moment for me. And instead, I just choose to focus on how much I love watching him on screen because, okay, you know, all that personal stuff aside, who knows why he is the way he is, but man, is he a good actor. And I think that he's going to be really fun in this movie because Meryl Streep, I think, elevates everyone that she's around. So, you know, you take great performers, pop in some Streep, you're going to end up with a delicious soup of awesomeness.
She is awesome. And I was actually wondering, and you can tell me, do you think she is going to go back? I heard that there could be potentially a Devil's Wears Prada 2 or some kind of thing like that. Is that a maybe? Do we know if that could be coming down the pike?
You know, I actually have no idea, but based on how uncreative Hollywood is and how much they love doing sequels to things that were popular, I would say that it's probably very likely that they would do something like that.
Okay. She was awesome in that movie. Man, that made me laugh. She was, and also hate her at the same time. Like, it was great. She did a good job.
Yeah. What an incredible performance every single time from Meryl Streep. Like, she's just fantastic. I love her.
Yeah, and she, I mean, I know you and I talked about this in the spring. I think we both were sad about, not sad, but, you know, when she got the Oscar and the actress from The Help did not. But, I mean, how can you, but, you know, she's just amazing. She should probably win it every year. And what is she at, 3 now? She has 3 Oscars, I guess? Is it 3?
I think something like that. A shockingly low amount compared to how many times she's been nominated.
Exactly.
She's fantastic. She's always fantastic. So I think that for anybody, you know, I want to say the chick flick set is really going to dig Hope Springs.
Okay. Now, is there anything else, Augusty, that I need to talk to you about? Because I wasn't sure if there's anything else that might be under the radar that some people might not hear about.
Also coming out on Friday, August 17th, is a movie, an animated movie for kids that I think looks really interesting. It's called Paranorman. And it's about a little boy who, it's from Focus Features, and it's about a little boy whose best friends are ghosts, and he's kind of a loser. And the advance word on this one is that it is surprisingly dark and very, very funny for an animated movie. So I think this is going to be kind of one like a Pixar movie where adults are going to like it just as much as the kids.
Okay, so that's something to check out before end of August.
Absolutely. And also for anybody who's itching to get their horror movie on the 31st of August will be a movie called The Possession, which I personally am really excited about because I'm a huge horror movie fan, and it has the most hilarious premise. A family goes to a garage sale, buys a kind of a trunk for their daughter, And it turns out it has a Dybbuk in it. Oh, no, it has a demon in it. And it it makes their lives horrible. And that is the reason that I am not allowed to go to garage sales, because apparently they all make your life horrible.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. Okay, so that's, yeah, you know what? I think I had heard about that one or read about it in something. So that, yeah, very good. So thriller and horror fans, that's what you need to see, The Possession. Now, I have to ask you about this because, you know, in entertainment circles, this has been the buzz the last couple of weeks, even though I think most of us were sad that it was the buzz and didn't want to have to sort of cover this or deal with this. But actress Kristen Stewart, you know, admitted that she had had an indiscretion with her director from Snow White and the Huntsman. So this has called into question her relationship with Rob Pattinson. From what we understand, it looks like it's over, I guess. I don't really know.
I heard he was moving out.
Okay, so I'm assuming it's probably done. And if he's smart, he should probably walk. So I need to ask you about this. First of all, you know, they were quite the power couple without being a power couple, because a lot of people didn't even know they were together. Second of all, they are still, you know, going to be portrayed in another Twilight movie, I believe, coming out in November. So,
yeah.
You know, what's this going to mean, Gray, for red carpet? And I heard, you know, and I wanted your opinion on this. I heard through the grapevine that they are contractually bound to be on that red carpet together and take pictures together. So how awkward is that?
Oh, boy. Well, welcome to Hollywood, man. Yikes. I wouldn't be surprised if there is an arrangement like that, because their relationship in the film is really important to the series. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they're bound that way. But, you know, all personal stuff aside, this kind of thing happens. And I actually interviewed Kristen Stewart and Rupert Sanders for Snow White and the Huntsman, which you can see on Fandango. And boy, Kristen Stewart said so many nice things about Rupert Sanders, and then looking back at it, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
I know. I'm
like
wow,
scoop,
she
right?
really meant that stuff, but she also meant that she wanted to put her mouth on his mouth.
Wow.
What she didn't say is that she wanted to she didn't say what she really wanted to do, Kelly.
No, she did not. You know, I want to, like, so I guess I need to let you finish the question or the answer to Twilight premiere. Like, is this going to be a disaster, do you think? Or will the show be more important of the red carpet than the actual movie?
Well, you know what? That movie comes out in November, and it's August. And that is a long time from now in Hollywood years.
Okay.
So I would say that even though, you know, if all of this stuff is true, and if they are, in fact, breaking up, I think that, you know, regardless of whatever they're going through with their own personal, you know, pain, I think that the red carpet will probably be very cordial. I think that we can expect to see something that publicly looks okay, because that is, it is important to the film that, you know, people get to see everyone and that there's no weirdness and that everybody has plenty of time to talk to them and do their interviews and they have time to sign autographs for the fans. So I think I would hope that everyone is going to be an adult about it and you know, just kind of forget about all of that personal stuff and focus on the good of the movie. Because, you know, Twilight is a really important film for that studio and for all of the fans. So, you know, think of the movie, you guys.
And is this the last Twilight? Because I haven't kept up. Is this the last one with them?
It is. And apparently it's finally where Twilight is going to get bonkers.
Oh.
Because I think those movies are just better than Ambien. They're so boring. And finally, this is the one where
you. Cool
stuff happens, finally.
Fantastic. So, and does the Twilight go anywhere else after this, or are we done? Like, is this like sort of last Harry Potter movie? Like, this is it?
This is it for Twilight, but, okay. You know, Stephanie, what's her name, is Meyer. Stephanie Meyer, the author of the book, is already working on her new project. That movie's already filming, so Twilight fans need not be nervous.
Okay.
Because there's a new project. It's called The Host, I believe, and everybody's very, very excited about it. So it's going to be great. We'll get to see more from her.
Okay, now I know we always try to focus on the movie aspect of things, but I did want your opinion on this. With the revelation that Kristen Stewart, who I think had a reputation for pretty much being not a goody-two-shoes, but, you know, fairly tame, I guess, by Hollywood standards, has this damaged her movie star-making potential, or is this excited people that she's like a naughty girl?
I think at this point, it has only excited people. This is not the first indiscretion committed in Hollywood, and it won't be the last. And I think unless she starts to make it a habit and goes all Lindsay Lohan on us, you know, then she's going to be fine and people are going to see her movies. And I really don't think that even if a portion of the Twilight fans turn on her, I really don't think it's going to hurt her in the end. Because you know what? She was in a movie called The Runaways where she played Joan Jett. She was really good in it. She's actually a really good actress, I think. So I think she'll be fine. Maybe she needs to, you know, take a breather and look at her life and reevaluate some things, allegedly, or maybe not. I don't know. But I think she'll be, I think her stardom will be just fine. And if not, she can just go cry in her big pile of money.
Exactly. Now, final thing before I let you go, again, so we've talked about August movies. Is there anything that you would like to plant a seed in our head as we march towards September and beyond?
Well, I mean, the big thing on my mind right now is that Peter Jackson has just announced that The Hobbit is going to be 3 films.
Okay.
And so as we go forward, I personally am going to use these next few months to rest, to eat a lot of vegetables and fruits, and I'm going to build my strength so that way I can wait in line for a million years and get to see The Hobbit before anybody in the perfect design is so jazzed for that. It's going to make beautiful Christmas presents.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Gray, thank you so much, and I cannot wait to have you back on again soon.
Good to talk to you again, Kelly.
That's our movie critic at KellyAlexanderShow.com, and also with Movies.com. Make sure to check her out. It's Gray Drake.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
After being in a car accident which confined him to a hospital bed, Chad Moretta discovered his true passion in life by simply exploring his iPhone. With no previous tech experience, he began developing ideas for mobile apps. Since then, Chad has spearheaded the development and marketing of over 46 apps, and he's here to tell us how easy it is for you to develop your very own app. Chad, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Now, Chad, can you tell me about what life was like before you were in this car accident? Were you interested in apps and all that sort of stuff?
I wasn't. I was basically in real estate, just having my head down, trying to figure out a way to actually make money because as we know, the market kind of crashed in 2006. So I didn't even know really what an app was at all. I get into a really bad car accident that shifted my thinking completely and made me, you know, realize that the way I was living my life and making money was definitely not the right way. And I needed to change kind of my game plan up a little bit.
So having been, confined to that hospital bed, what made you come up with the idea that you could actually develop your own app?
Well, I didn't have a lot of choices. You know, when you're laying in a hospital bed, you can only do so much. And so when I had a friend come up to me and kind of push me and saying, hey, you have to look at this other business, like there's ways to make money where you don't have to be there and show your face every day. And I'd always heard of ways like that, but I never thought it was real. And I read this article where it was, you know, basically broke down two people that did it without any technical experience. And I was like, well, I got to try something. I have to be able to pay my hospital bills, which are like $100,000. And I just started looking at the marketplace and started trying to come up with ideas on how I would do that.
Now, once you had this idea, I guess, for the app, how were you able to, you know, start it and get going? Because that seems like a pretty daunting process, especially if you don't have a clue, you know, about the tech part of it, maybe.
Yeah, it was. For me, it was getting enough reasons of why I needed to do it. And then once I found a trend in the marketplace, I didn't know what I was doing at all. I was just calling up random developers that I would find through on Google and stuff like that. And I ended up finding a company from India. What's nice is that there are third-party sites that allow anyone to go in and find developers that can produce your idea online, and you don't have to have any tech experience. So luckily, I landed one of those companies that sort of held my hand through the process.
And can you explain sort of how that went? Like you got these guys on the phone, and then where did you go from there?
Yeah, I got them on the phone. They were from India, so they were out of New Hampshire, and their main company was in India. So they would outsource their work from India. And then luckily for me, the person in New Hampshire really understood where I was coming from because I had no idea, you know, much about an app. I'd got an iPhone the day before the accident. And so I was trying to put all the pieces together and, you know, figuring out my idea was on security and, you know, what do I give you? How do I draw it out? And the guy was saying, well, all you have to do is draw out your idea so we can see it. And then we can start getting an idea of how much it's going to cost. And so opposite handed, I started drawing out what I thought would be my app. And then I just faxed it over to them and they got the drawing and then they started you know, saying, okay, well, based on this, it should be this amount of money. And it was the first quote I got, I think, was about $1,200. And it took about 2 weeks to produce.
Were you scared, Chad? I just wanted to interrupt you on that just because, like, were you scared about giving over your idea to this third party? Like, maybe they would have ran away with it.
I was, yeah, for sure. For a lot of people, and for me in that situation, without talking to another company as my first one, the only thing I could really do to protect myself was having them sign an NDA. That made me feel a little bit better. And then, you know, I saw their track record where they've been doing business for over 10 years. They were doing different software at the time, computer software. And then they saw how hot this mobile industry was, so they jumped into it early as well. And so that made me feel a little bit better that it was a company. They did have a reputation. They've been doing business for a while. And, you know, seeing how they were taking their time with me, it was an interview process. I did hire them fairly quickly, but I did have, I think, probably 3 or 4 conversations with them before I decided to pull the trigger.
So then you sent this over. They said it would be about $1,200. And then what happened from there?
Well, from there, I realized that because I didn't give them all the information, I wasn't thorough with my design and really thinking it through, that it went to, I think it was like $1,600, and it ended up being $1,800 total. So it was a learning lesson for me. I realized that, you know, initially when you talk to this third party or your developer, that you should have it fully planned out, at least design-wise, and what you really want to do. And then you should tell them or ask them, is it okay if you have minor changes, like iterations, like maybe 3 or 4 different changes when you get it back, that you can just, you know, I want the color change or the font change, something like that. So it's addressed on the front end versus on the back end.
So then once this app was done, were you shocked maybe at how well it came out and where you were going to go from there?
Yeah, I was. And the whole process, it was kind of a Hail Mary shot for me to make money again. And I didn't know anything about the industry. I didn't know what I was doing. I felt like I had a grasp on the app would do well based on, because I was laying in a hospital bed, so all I could really do was look at the app store. And I sort of had my competitive advantage where I wasn't a developer that was kind of stuck in the trenches developing. I was, you know, a business guy that was looking at trends and seeing and emulating different apps. So I felt like I had a competitive advantage there, and it was just the education of falling on my face a few times because no one at the time was teaching anyone how to do this. And so I knew eventually I would be able to pick myself up. And honestly, for me, it was just that one string of hope. I was like, okay, if I can get some results on this app, I know it's going to help me, you know, get my arm back, get my life back. And once I started, when I got it back, it wasn't at all what I thought it was going to be, but it looked good, it felt good. And then when I submitted it, it did end up start getting results pretty quickly, but getting some downloads.
Joining us on the program is Chad Moretta, author of App Empire, Make Money, Have a Life, and Let Technology Work for You. Make sure to check him out, appempire.com. So you get this app, it starts to, you know, you get it approved, obviously, I guess, through the developers program at Apple. Is that how that worked?
It is. Yeah, you send off, I started a company and then sent it off to Apple. It took about 10 days for them to approve it. Mm-hmm. And then it got distributed all around the world. So I remember waking up and getting my reports and looking at these countries that I didn't even realize were a country that I just made money from. It was a pretty amazing experience, and it definitely showed me what was possible in this realm.
Chad, how difficult was it to get through that developer program and to get it approved? Like, is it a tedious process to, you know, submit your app?
It's really not that bad. You know, it's $99 a year. You fill out a form. If you do start an LLC, depending if you sign up as an individual or as a company, you have to send them your paperwork so they know that you actually, you know, you do have an account, you do have a website, you are a real business. It doesn't take too much. It takes usually 7 to 14 days for them to process it and tell you you're all set up and ready to go. And I think a lot of people, they make it harder than it needs to be because it's pretty seamless when you go through the developer portal. It shows you step by step what you need to do. And just a matter of, you know, doing it. And then you're signed up for an entire year.
Okay. That's amazing. I think that's really helpful. And I think that falls along the lines with how Apple likes to make things easy. Like even when you're on their computers and you're trying to figure out something, like it's pretty, you know, if you have any bit of a brain, you can usually march through something.
Exactly. Yeah. They're very intuitive. They look out for the experience of all parties, developers, the consumer. And so they have, they follow that suit within their developer portal where they want to give you the information for sure.
So once this app, you know, was sort of out there and starting to bring in money, was it bringing in enough right away to convince you to keep going, Chad?
It was. Yep. It gave me it was doing well enough where I actually got a little complacent because I was like, oh, this is easy. This is no problem. And I didn't do too much as far as marketing for the first like 45 days. And then I started seeing the results go down a little bit. I realized, okay, you can have a good app, but you really, it's in the marketing and it's in tweaking and being able to give it some presence. It's very different than any other business because you're not spending that much time on it. You know, once it's in the marketplace, you're making money from all these countries, but you can't just let it go either. So it was that kind of learning lesson for me that showed me, okay, this is real, but I need to have some presence. I need to understand why it's working. And that's what, you know, somewhat got me addicted about how I can look and find trends and how, you know, really anybody with ideas can make money in this store. It's just a matter of executing, following through on it.
Can you explain a little bit about the marketing of the app, I guess? Because, you know, for someone who is just sort of thinking about this, I think it would seem like what you just said, where, you know, you make the app, you get it approved, you put it out there, and then you hope for the best. Like, how can you actually market an app once it's on the app store?
Yeah, it's a good, great question. So most people do. They think they can just throw it out there and they're going to get results. And I've seen so many people that are very close to hitting a home run with their app, whatever that may be to them, but they are a little off on their marketing. And what I have found, and things are constantly changing in the space, but you know, you need to get data and measure your data as soon as possible. So I always like to, if I have an app idea, instead of making it unbelievable with all these, you know, features and benefits, I don't make it as feature rich in the beginning, because what I'm looking for is making sure that my idea actually is good enough to stick, where people download it and they like it. And so what I'll do is I'll put it for free at first, and you know, I'll have the right category, I'll have the right title so it intrigues people. There's a process, like anything, to get someone to download their app. And I'll make sure that I get that dialed in first before I start spending a lot of money on the app, because before that, it doesn't really matter. And so basically, I make it free. I try to figure out how to get the most downloads I can free by just, you know, and it's all free marketing. That's the nice thing about this store is it is a closed system. You can pay for traffic marketing-wise, but most of your marketing, if you do it the right way, is actually going to be free. Unless you're changing the screenshots, like the colors and stuff like that, where you have to pay a designer, you can change categories and change keywords, and you can actually change your description, and that's all for free. So I get that the best I possibly can, and once I have that dialed in, then I'll go ahead and add another layer of marketing, or I'll add a paid version of that app with it that has more features.
How often, Chad, are you doing, you know, updates? Because, for example, I'll just give you an example of an app that I love. I think it's just because of the fact that I'm in the business that I am, being in radio entertainment. Yeah. Is this app called Fluent News. And I actually don't even know who makes it. I just know that it's basically like an online newspaper where they're grabbing, you know, top stories in every kind of category, whether it's, you know, current affairs or lifestyle or sports or entertainment. And they're grabbing them from all the big, you know, papers in the States. And then they basically put it together as this online newspaper. And I think it's fantastic for the work that I need to do because they update it, you know, fairly often. And my point with this is the fact that they are, I would say, probably once every 4 to 6 weeks, I get like an update that you need to update it. So how often are you updating?
Yeah, I've tried a couple different things. So updates are actually a great marketing technique. Even if you do a minor change, it's great to update. So most developers think that they have to do a huge update, spend all this money. And that's not true. You can do it just by changing a color, doing something small. And what it does is it has all of your customers saying, hey, check me out again, you know, go inside the app, play with it. And you can start getting some more downloads and start getting some more information. So there is something to that. So instead of doing it too much, I was doing it every 5 days to a week. And I found that to be actually too much. There's like an attrition rate when you update too much.
Okay.
But then again, there's too long too. So I would say the optimal time is somewhere between 3 and 5 to 6 weeks, somewhere around there.
When it comes to, you know, these apps, I guess money-wise, like, is there a sweet spot with, you know, how much you should be charging? Because I, you know, you sometimes see apps that are, you know, 99 cents, and then you'll see ones, you know, depending on if it's some sort of, you know, program, you know, like or iMovie, you know, where it's going to be $10. Like, where should you be marketing your price?
Yeah, so I strongly believe that a lot of these downloads that happen are because of the psychology of the people pressing the buttons, right? Microtransactions in our head, it's 99 cents. It's like, oh, we have 99 cents. You can find those quarters in a couch, you know, somewhere. So it's not, I think that's the whole psychology. I hate going above that price point. Basically, you can make a lot of money with free apps, but also once you get over that microtransaction psychology, then people stop and they spend a lot more time. They're going to read reviews. They really have to make sure that it's for them. And most companies that charge either have a specific niche or they have their big branded company like EA Sports or something like that, and they drive a very different business model.
And did you say, Chad, that you can actually make money on the free apps? Like, how are you making money off that? Is it the advertising's on the app?
Yeah, so there's companies out there, and you can actually make, and sometimes more money from your free apps than you can on some of your paid. And they have, there's companies like AdWorld and AdMob and iAd, so all advertising networks. Which isn't difficult. So some people think, oh my gosh, I have to contact all these different people, but you don't. You sign up for an ad network, you have the development team put it into your app, and then basically the service just grabs different ads and it displays them, and you get a certain percentage. So that's one way that a lot of people monetize their traffic. Another way is through affiliate marketing. And so that's a way that people, it's linkshare.com, they simply go on it and they click on stuff inside of the app and it brings them to whatever they're clicking on. Sometimes iTunes banner ads, and you usually get 5% of whatever someone buys on the Apple iTunes store for 72 hours, which adds up pretty quickly.
Wow, that's amazing. See, this is all stuff that I think a lot of people, you know, don't have a clue about. Joining us on the program right now, Chad Moretta, author of App Empire, Make Money, Have a Life, and Let Technology Work for You. Check him out, appempire.com. Chad, what I guess would be one or two of the main challenges that you faced while you were, you know, developing your ideas for apps?
I would say probably my number one was finding programmers and being consistent with giving them the right information and spending time laying it out properly. So it was a process in certain questions that I was asking. And also, I didn't want to find the first person. And in the beginning, it was brand new. And so I was really excited just to find someone that said, yes, I can program this app. And then as I learned the process, I figured there's lessons along the way where I could really get the right person without having to spend a lot of money, without having to go through a lot of, headache, which I was going through before. And so that was probably the first major thing for me, is the team. And also the team dynamic, too, is figuring how to run the business without me spending time on stuff that wasn't important. I want to look at the ideas. I want to kind of lead the ship, but I don't want to do all the little minuscule tasks because that takes away from what I'm good at. And I think a lot of people were doing that in the beginning. They're spending all their time on just making it better versus coming up with new ideas.
Right. And when it comes to your team right now, Chad, like, are you using the same developers all the time now? I guess you probably have a set list of people that you trust.
I do. Yeah. It depends on the app, because some people are great at, high quality audio or video stuff. And some people are really good at, designing a simple entertainment app. So it just depends on what we're trying to accomplish. And yeah, I do have a lot of different developers on a Rolodex. Basically, I contract with the top guys, and I have one of my teammates pretty much on just a retainer every month, because once you find a good company, you want to make sure that you tell them that, you're in it for the long term. Most independent contractors, as soon as they get done your job, they're looking for the next one, and that's a pain point for them because they don't want to deal with marketing themselves just as much as you want to find, trying to find a new developer. So in the beginning, if you put the intent out there and say, hey, I'm taking my time with this, I'm a newbie, but I'm in for a long relationship and I'm in it for long term. And so if this goes well, then I can see myself, having someone like you long term to do all my apps, because that makes them feel better. They're going to put in more hard work, and that's essentially what you want too.
And can you tell me, what the first step would be if you are trying to develop an app? Like, you had to sit there in a hospital, and I guess you had all kind of time, instead of looking at the ceiling, working things out in your head. Does someone really need to sort of sit there and sort of go A to Z, at least mentally, going, this app should work?
Yeah, I think most people have to figure out the reason why they want to get into it and be very clear with that. That to me, because I know 100% the app business and the mobile business is the hottest thing right now. It is the easiest thing to make money on, and that most people that are entrepreneurs or people that aren't even entrepreneurs that are just looking to find different ways to make income or maybe even augment their marketing for their business because consumer behavior is going into mobile, that they need to jump into it. So it's basically them just getting over the fact of, or you know, anyone getting over the fact of, okay, why do I want to get into this? And making sure that they schedule time to get educated into it. And it's more mindset than anything. And I think sometimes it's good to jump into a community, or maybe you attack it with a buddy of yours, and you know, you're taking a class, you read a book. There's all kinds of things you can do to make yourself feel better. But I think people have to get really strict with themselves and just get very honest with themselves that, you know, what's going on in their head mentally. Because, I mean, I was at the same position where I almost didn't reach out when I was in the hospital because I was like, I'm not a technical person. You know, how can I do this? I don't even know this space. And really, it was the best thing that could have ever happened. And so me being able to do it really shows me how most people can do it. They just have to have enough drive and horsepower to push through some of their awkward moments of not knowing the space.
And can you give us an idea, an example again, maybe of how much or what the range should be for a potential app? Because, you know, for example, just myself, last year or maybe 18 months ago, I was contemplating making an app for my show, KellyAlexanderShow.com. And so I reached out to a few people, and one guy wanted to charge me $15,000 to make my app. And I laughed because I had a friend of mine from high school who now does this, and she was going to do it for four. So I think, you know, if you're not educated, like, thankfully, I think I have a bit of a background in knowing things when it comes to social media. So I didn't, you know, take up Mr. $15,000 man, you know, but how do you, or what do you suggest to people when they're trying to figure out, you know, the price ranges and stuff?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I don't know either. I don't know what things cost because I'm not a technical person. But what I do is I spend a lot of time getting a lot of quotes. So I'll interview 10 people, and it's not a lot of time. It's not that bad. And I also get 10 different quotes from 10 different people. And you can quickly tell what the average is because, you know, your $15,000 guy, he might have been one of two people that have quoted over 10K. And probably the average is around $4,000, you know, or $2,000 or whatever. And if you get 10 to 15 people that you look on a site like odesk.com and you see that they've done a lot of business, they sort it by, so a lot of the freelancer, Elance, Odesk, they'll sort it by how many hours the individual or team has worked on apps. So that gives you somewhat of a filter on, okay, these guys have actually done a lot of work, and it gives you that confidence. So then when you talk to them and you get quotes for your apps, you can really see if they're in line with most people. Because it should be pretty much relatively close. And so that's how I do it. And I do that with every single app. I never take it for granted. And then once you trust your developers, then you know, okay, you're getting a pretty accurate quote. And a lot of times I don't like to go per hour because, you know, there's no incentive for them to finish if it's per hour. They can just keep doing it. So I always like to do, you know, let's try to set this up where we have milestones. And I'll break it into usually five sections. And I do a fixed price so they know exactly what they're quoting. And if they mess up at all on their side, they have to eat that cost. But that means that I have to give them as much information as I can. And then every fifth of the time, we go ahead and we look at what they've done. Does it match up with what I want? And then I go ahead and make a payment to them. So we're on the same page. They feel good. I'm present in the process. And the communication is strong.
So, Chad, the money ball question right now is, can you survive off this, you know, and give up the full-time job?
Yes, 100%. Okay. 100%. Yeah, and it's not just me or people, you know, friends of mine. It's, you know, the community that I've seen that we've created in the last 30 days. I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of examples and testimonials that I'm seeing that people are making a killing. They're making a lot of money and they're getting back to enjoying their life, you know, which is the most important thing, which is what I learned to do from my accident.
Fantastic. Now, Chad, where can people get a copy of your book?
They can get it on Amazon. So if they go to Amazon.com, they just type in Chad Moretta or App Empire, they can check it out there.
Okay. And I guess the important question that I want to ask you to sort of round things off is, what would you say again to people who, you know, want to launch themselves into that? What is your big tip that is going to push and propel these people forward to make this happen for them?
I would say my big tip really isn't a tip. It's I've seen over 100 people that came from no background of any type of technical background, and they're making a lot of money in this business. I coached a 10-year-old. I've coached a 16-year-old that's making $3,000 a month, in the summertime from school. So I'm seeing all these young kids. I've seen a 77-year-old that started making money. So my tip is, I've seen all the data. I know it's possible. I've seen it on a big scale. And, you know, take action. Take action. You know, check out my book if you want. There's other resources there. It's there. You just have to take action and make a decision to do it. And, you know, you will make money.
Chad, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate it, too.
That's Chad Moretta, again, author of App Empire, Make Money, Have a Life, and Let Technology Work for You. Make sure to check him out, appempire.com.
Bring on the
Remix.
With Payphone, the Liam Keegan radio edit on the Kelly Alexander Show. As always, a big thank you going out to my guests, Gray Drake, as well as Chad Moretta. I want to leave you with your inspirational quote of the week, this time from Sydney Smith. Whatever you are by nature, keep to it. Never desert your line of talent. Be what nature intended you for, and you will succeed. There you go. Don't forget to check out our new Twitter feed, at Kay Alexander Show, as well as our brand new website, KellyAlexanderShow.com. If you have any comments or questions, drop me a line, Kelly at KellyAlexanderShow.com. Have a great week. You and I'll chat soon.